This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Hello, it's me, Olivia Kennedy, but you can call me Liv. Thank you so much.
Yes, yeah. And
Jeremy Cobb, but Mitchell Cheney calls me Jeremy Stiff Upper Tentacle Cobb.
Hey,
oh,
very nice.
Oh my,
very
good. Oh my goodness.
Liv has not listened to Outlaws and Obelisks, and it shows.
Nope. Yeah,
I've told you. I don't have time, and I want to do it.
No, listen. I want to listen to it. No, listen, Liv, if I ever catch you listening to Outlaws and Obelisks when it's like, hey, look, you can either be relaxing or just working on something that we're currently working on, that's probably a better use of your time than you listening to Outlaws and Obelisks. Not being said, though, everyone else that's listening to this right now, you should go listen to Outlaws and Obelisks. And if you already listen to it again, because it's amazing. Yeah.
If you put on social media, like, I'm listening to Outlaws and Obelisks right now, and you tag us, and then you're like, Liv, you should listen to it, then maybe I'll consider it, you know? Maybe we could say
if like 20 people say, hey, I'm listening to Outlaws and Obelisks right now on social media, like independently, then Liv has to listen to it.
Sure. Yeah. 50? No,
50?
Liv, no. Liv, you work for the show.
We only have 10 listeners, Liv.
We have 10 listeners? Oh, my God.
We have 10. That's exactly. So each person has to post twice.
Twice?
Oh, my God.
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full Prince vibe? Woof.
This makes them even more black.
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Into something real big now.
That's one person.
Put it between Twitter and the Discord.
That's the whole thing. We want more people to listen to Outlaws and Obelisks if they haven't listened to it yet, including
a lot
myself,
of people so... in the Discord probably haven't listened.
Why haven't you listened to a Discord?
No, our main priority here is not whether people listen to this; it's whether you listen to this.
Yeah.
All of our listeners have listened to Outlaws and Obelisks. They're going to be listening again.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Wow. Like that's what's happening. If you're listening to this, you've already heard Outlaws and Obelisks. You already know.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah. True fans.
You know where Stiff Upper Tentacle comes from.
Mm. Exactly. No, I do. I'm just kidding. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
what episode?
To it.
Liv.
Do you remember
episode
what
5, actually. It's way episode too 5.
Deep. Imagine
if I got it right, though.
That'd be incredible. It's not episode 5.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's definitely not.
It is very much not episode 5.
Oh, dear. Fine. Well, we are gathered here today because we're going to talk about something which is... We are gathered here today. I quite like that. That's going to be my new segue. I'm going to say it every time.
We are gathered here today to witness
the hostile takeover of the creative industry. Oh, it's AI! Woohoo!
Special guest. Don't give him a hand.
No. They'll just steal it.
They can't handle hands very well.
That's true.
Just to outline what we're going to do in this episode, we're going to basically talk a little bit about AI art. I think that's one of the more prevalent ones within the TTRPG community in general right now. And then we're going to kind of just talk more broadly about what AI means, you know, for us and potentially for you folks, because I think that it is something that is causing a lot of conversation and debate at the moment. You know, there's a huge amount of this conversation happening around the SAG-AFTRA strikes as well. So just felt like something we should talk a little bit about.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with AIR? Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts on this particularly.
Oh, okay, you, yeah, please. Okay.
I want to jump in because I may have had the most visibly public relationship with AI art because I used to post AI art. I first discovered it from people just making what I thought were cool looking images. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. And I really enjoy making images, part of why I like making Hero Forges so much is because I like to have visual representations of the things that are in my games, whether I am a player or the GM. And it's like, whoa, I can just have something create like a cool approximation of this image in like a short amount of time. That's awesome. I didn't really have much of an understanding of where all of it was coming from, nor was I trying to, nor was I interested in profiting off of it. But I had posted like a bunch of AI stuff based on our own actual play shows on our Discord and on Twitter. In fact, I got blocked by Rob Liefeld because you're not familiar with Rob Liefeld.
Yes.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld.
That was very funny.
Yeah, I deserved it, to be fair. I tagged him in the post. I tagged him in the post. I don't blame him at all. I think it was hilarious, but basically, if you're not sure who Rob Liefeld is, he's probably the most influential American comic book artist of the 1990s. Mm-hmm. He created the character of Deadpool as well as a number of other characters, but basically big muscular men with unrealistic proportions, women
he did the Captain America chest pose. Like,
that was him, right?
Double-breasted Captain America is him.
Yes.
You know the one.
Women who are somehow, their breasts and butts are facing the camera at the same time with impossibly thin waists and pouches and swords everywhere.
Sorry, did you just, Liv just went, same.
They just be out there, you know?
That's how Liv is on every time we have a video call. That's how the post lives in.
Stop, please. It's really distracting. And I'm like, I know.
Stop waving your boobs and butt at me, please.
At the same time. It's quite unnerving how bendy you are.
Very bendy. Sure.
But he famously could not draw feet. Like in so many of his images, he will contrive some reason for the character's feet to not be visible. And so
it's kind of like the nega Tarantino.
Yes.
If you will.
In a way. Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the spiritual opposite of a Tarantino.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like the feet, if they're in superhero costumes, surely they're just kind of like a shape, right?
Yeah,
like
that's almost always what they were. They weren't bare feet. They were in boots.
Yeah. Mm. So,
and he just had trouble with them. I don't know.
Wow.
But yeah.
And then Jeremy decided to stick the knife in.
Yeah. And so I typed in Rob Liefeld feet into the image generator, and it gave me some weird, disturbing abomination with Captain America colors, no less.
Yeah. It was so
and so
odd.
I posted it and tagged him. I don't even know what I was thinking, but he blocked me after that. And frankly, I deserved it.
I mean, but like, you must have been like, oh, this is funny. He'll love this.
Yeah, legitimately. I think this. I just thought it was going to be funny. And I think it may have just hurt his feelings. And so, Rob Liefeld, if you ever hear this, I apologize, man. You don't deserve that.
No.
Also, just like the idea as well, like all of the conversations around the AIR, like I can imagine Rob Liefeld sat there being like, that's what my work has being boiled down. Like, that could have been a real defining Dark Night of the Soul moment for Rob Liefeld. Just because of you, Jeremy Cobb, the little troll on Twitter.
Yeah.
But, like, innocently trolling as well.
The first person I've ever trolled on Twitter, I think. Except for maybe you, Jasper. I've trolled you.
We troll each other.
That's it's true. It's a mutual trolling. The other thing I was going to say was I also posted images of three black halflings. I just typed in that as a prompt.
Yes.
And that actually kicked off a number of conversations because it shows the bias that AI art has because AI art is ultimately art that it feeds off of images that are fed into it. So you take a bunch of images, and part of where the ethics become very questionable is very frequently these are images that you do not have the rights to use. And you will just take a potentially thousands or even millions of images that you do not have the rights to use by other artists and feed them into
like
the algorithm.
Stitch them together, kind
of. And then it will create something out of all of those images, including sometimes like partial signatures from pieces of art or identifiable elements from other works. And so there's a clear bias towards representing white-skinned characters as opposed to black-skinned characters. And the halflings that I got when I tainted three black halflings were some of the most some of the disturbing creatures I've ever seen.
Like, I don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah, wild. It was rough.
Yeah. It started a minor discourse. There were people like sharing it in, with large posts, like threads about like how AI art was racist and things like that. And in retrospect, had I kind of done research on AI art beforehand and what the general feelings on it were, I probably would not have posted it because I don't endorse stealing people's art, especially not for money. Like, if it's one thing if you're just tracing images at home and putting them up in your house.
Yeah.
But, well, as we were about to discuss, people are absolutely using this to cut corners and save money.
Yeah. I think it's worth mentioning as well that obviously this is a pretty, it's a new technology for us and it's just become kind of mainstream. And I think that even if you were kind of like, you were like, oh, I like AI art. And now you're kind of like, oh, I feel bad because I endorsed AI art. It's, we're all learning. Like, this is a brand new thing. And they didn't like have a disclaimer underneath all of it. Like, this is stolen, because why would they? So like, yeah, like if you've like found out that this is bad recently, don't worry about it. We're all getting there.
I think you've raised a really, really important point, Liv, which is something that we've spoke, like, the part of the whole ethos of this whole show, like, is that we're like, hey, this is like a safe space for like us to fuck up, for you to fuck up. Like, it's, you know what I mean? The idea is that we're going to acknowledge that we all make mistakes and then, you know, like, move forward. And I think that's exactly what, you know, with these new technologies, if you are someone that's into, you know, like, tinkering with these things and playing with these things, then, like, I don't think that there's, like, there's definitely a learning process to be had, but, like, it should be a safe learning process, because also it's, like, it is also essential that we learn about these technologies. Do you know what I mean? We can't just say, no, it's bad. Like, you know, there are, and I think, you know, we can kind of get onto this more generally when we talk about more generally AI art, but there are huge, huge upsides to certain elements of AI. And to sort of give it this stigmatism because of a few pillars which are particularly bad and harmful, I think is something that, like, we need to, you know, as a society, we need to grapple.
Yeah, we need to differentiate between the two. Yeah.
But I guess in terms of the art stuff, it's one thing that I do find interesting is that there is, I think, a lot of people who are sort of justifying it as like, saying it's like accessible or it's something like, and I think that personally, I'm going to go ahead and say, like, there's a lot of people who are great at art, and a lot of things that, like, for instance, 3BH has done in the past is like say, hey, we can't afford to pay you, you know, what you're worth right now, but if you're a friend or if you're someone who we kind of know, whatever, come along for the ride kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and if we do better, then you do better. And do you know what I mean? Like, there's ways that I think that you can make it mutually beneficial between you and an artist if you're, say, a small show.
Yeah.
I don't think that justifying it by saying you don't have the budget is...
No.
is great.
If you don't have the budget, then if you don't have the budget, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Not for something that is being sold.
Or you're trying to profit from in any way. Exactly. You know what I mean? Even if it's just getting paid or whatever. Like, if there's any monetary exchange, I think it definitely goes into should not.
If you're using it to advertise for something that you make money on, then you are essentially stealing bits and pieces from other people's work in order to make yourself either more money or more publicity, clout, etc. And that is, I don't think we've never done that, but I think honestly, even when it comes to art stuff,
I hope not.
Maybe in the earliest days, we asked people to give us like a discount or work with us on stuff. But even then, we will tend to be like, hey, look, if we can't afford it, then we don't do it.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. That's ultimately what it is. Or like, because like what we, you know, what we have done is like, say, you know, like, hey, we've paid people for like, for instance, Kyle, who does our graphic design, like, we pay him a little bit more now than we used to pay him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we were kind of like, hey, we can't afford to pay you right now, but it's really beneficial for us to have, you know, these cool graphics, which really help us sell the whole show, et cetera, et cetera. And like, I think now it's really paying off, and he's, you know, a big fan of working with us. And do you know what I mean? So I think there is ways, as creative ways, that you can get around that without going down the route of like something like AI art.
Yeah. Installments, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I guess to open this conversation out then more broadly, my main issue with this is the idea of, well, I think I have two issues, two main issues, which is that A, I think obviously feeding this thing art, which is then effectively just replicating, also kind of, for me, just gets away from the idea of art, right? Like the idea of art, whilst I completely agree that we are doing a very similar thing, like most people intake art and then will, you know, all art is theft, right? That's the quote. But I think what we're doing is we're then like taking that and putting it through the prism of a human experience. And then that's what is... makes it kind of part of what makes it enjoyable, whether that's digital art, whether that's a, you know, canvas painting, you know, whatever else it is. And so I guess just to open up to you, like, what's your reaction? Like, let's say we remove the like, I'll go to you, Liv, actually first.
Sure.
Let's say we remove the kind of money element from this. Let's just say we were in the future where NFTs are actually useful. So it means that digital artists, well, this is an interesting thing. So NFTs, I think genuinely are like weirdly the fucking savior for us here, because it basically means that we can, once the technology gets better, we can actually make it so that
keep
artists
track of things. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, artists basically can create a actual version of their art, which cannot be stolen or copied or like profited on by someone else, is basically what I'm saying.
I see. But not monetize, well, not monetizing that. Not like, oh, I
no,
own
the technology and the fucking insider trading on it, like all of that is complete crap, and I no interest in it at all. I'm talking about the technology that basically allows you to put a tag on something, say this
tracing
is a
it back to somebody
unique and original thing that belongs to this person, because they are pretty, they're like pretty hard to break, as far as I'm aware, pretty hard to break as a thing. So
interesting.
But I said, let's imagine a situation where, and by the way, if anyone's listening and wants to either correct me on that or back me up on that, please let me know, because I'm interested to learn more about how.
Yeah, let's know. We always want to learn from, if people know more than we do, hit us up.
Yeah, for hit us up. But let's say we could remove that kind of monetary element, the icky bit that makes me, that makes us feel like, oh, like we're stealing from someone, we're stealing from someone else's work or whatever else it is. All the artists are getting paid. We're in a completely idealistic world.
Yeah.
What is your just genuine feeling towards AI art? Like, how, like, do you like it from an accessibility point of view in that world? Do you like the images? Do you like the ability to make stuff yourself? How do you feel about it? And there's no wrong answers, right? This is just...
Yeah. Just hypothetically. Yeah, I mean, if it was an ideal world, I think it's like my initial reaction when like all of this started becoming kind of mainstream was like, oh, how fun. Basically
it's just a bit of fun,
like, oh, that's fun. Like, never, so I would never pass it off as like my own, that I'd like made this thing, because that just feels shady as hell, you know, like there's this artist online who is so like so good at their art that people keep saying this is like rendered, or this is
I've seen so much of this.
Yeah, right.
People posting art and people be like, this is obviously AI.
And yeah, and you're like no, no, it's just me. And the people like getting proper hate for it. It's like, I'm just making art. What's happening?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. So like, that kind of thing. Yeah. Feels rough, because then it like gives other people a bad name, you know, like it's still, it's just always a bad thing to do. But in terms of like, just like having like I think when it all first came out, there was like an app that was like, oh, put an image of your face in here and then we'll put you in like a Christmas pose or whatever, and I was like, fun, that's me in a Christmas hat, great, you know, like it's just
I can I level with you guys, I never did this because it instantly just terrified me. I was like I was like
how you see
it's
me?
Yeah. So weird that I had a reaction to this, because I was like, I constantly put my face online. My face is not a secret in any way. Anyone that wants to get access to my face can just Google it. There's a picture of my face. But the idea of like uploading a picture of my face to this thing where this AI was just going to get hold of it just terrified me, which is so stupid, because the AI already has my face if it wants it. Like, it's just, it's like available online. It's there.
If corporations want your image, like, they can fucking take it, honestly. They're going to get it.
But I don't know why I had such a knee-jerk reaction to that app when everyone was doing it. I was just like, no, stop, we're feeding the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't
know
why.
Fingerprints. So
well, you're feeding some specific company, I think. Like,
sure.
Because I used to have an app, it had been called Portrait AI or something, I don't know, from years ago, that I was used to play with back in like 2020.
Yeah.
That I would just put, it would basically turn your face into like a 19th century portrait. of yourself. And it was just fun to see what it would do with different people's photos.
Ooh, look at that, you know?
Yeah. I did notice that it was very bad with people of color. And
Chuck,
it, like,
Chuck
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I would, I put me in, it turned me white. I put in Wesley Snipes, it turned him white. I put Lupita Nyong'o.
You cannot, like, you cannot turn Wesley Snipes white. Like, whoa, you got
turned us all white, man. Turned us all white.
Wow.
And it
that's
was
another thing. Yeah.
It was made by like some
racism, but yes.
Well, yes.
We've discussed
yes.
racism before.
No, it was, and it was made by, Liv, it was made by a Ukrainian company. The one that I used was made by a Ukrainian company, and they trained it on white faces. So whenever you put in a person of color, it would just be like, I guess they're white.
Does not compute.
I don't know what to do with this.
What is that? Ew.
What's wrong with this person?
And, but I, at the same time, I told my friend about it. He was like, oh, yeah, it's probably like harvesting like data and taking people's faces that it could potentially sell to somebody who may try to hack into your stuff or use your face for something down the line or whatever. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll stop then.
I guess so.
yeah, I guess that's not great. that's a no.
Not ideal.
Well, I think maybe let's because we've touched on it a couple of times. Maybe let's go into a little bit into like a lot of the people making this tech right are white people, white dudes. You know, a lot of the stuff is Silicon Valley, places like that, which is extremely kind of biased towards one particular gender or one particular racial persuasion. So I think that even from a I think the interesting thing, right, is that this feels to me a little bit like, oh, hey, you know, all of you people that are acting shocked that, AI is bad with white people, bad with black people and other colors, like, you are the same people that seem kind of shocked when I say that racism still exists. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's just kind of like, this is just holding up a magnifying glass to the way that our society operates. You know what I mean?
For like, it's just highlighting it, like, in a, no, definitely, I agree.
Like, when you go past... It's like so interesting. Like now, I don't know if you guys have this, right? This is slightly off topic, but I feel like my eye is so keenly trained now to notice like genuine like advertisement for something and then like tokenistic advertising for something. Like when I see images of people of color or women or whatever, like in certain advertisements, there are some where I'm like, yep, that really feels like 100% like a genuine advertisement, right? And then there's others where it's like, wow, like you could not have told me more clearly that your company has had issues with racism in the last year.
Yeah, issues
like,
with racism.
Do you know what I mean?
Or it's like, full of only this. White people. Yeah, and they're like, please.
Yeah, like, and I think it kind of, for me, it feels very similar, right? Because essentially it's the same kinds of people who are making those decisions, who are like feeding and creating these AI systems. And it just, it very much to me feels like, oh yeah, we're just holding up a magnifying glass to the way that our society operates and the way that we, the people of color, the women, minorities in general are seen within, you know, the kind of more prevalent, at least more kind of like, at least Western, like ideal, like ideals, you know what I mean?
Sorry, it just literally hit me. I know that this is obvious, but isn't it so fucking wild that there's just one group of people who just get everything? What is happening? Like, I'm sorry, it just hit me.
Liv, did you
just like hit me? Like, it's just like this one, like, oh, that group gets it. Guess what? Why? Sorry, yeah, I'm fine. It just really got into my head.
Liv just like rediscovered why racism was bad. Like, I think you knew it, but it was like one of those things, like, it just hit you again.
But there was like,
man.
It's like it's cyclical, and then it goes around, and then you're like, fuck, what? And then
it's like when you watch those videos where it's like, you know, the ones, it's like the CGI kind of videos where it like pans over, it's like showing you like the different sizes of countries or maps or cars or monsters or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember watching one for like the richest people in the world, and it was like down in like fucking 100th was like, you know, this like, I don't know, billionaire or whatever. It's like, you know, he has like 2 billion, and it was like, I was like, whoa, look at this black guy with all his money, like, look at Shaquille O'Neal down here. And it was like, it fucking panned up, and it was just like, basically like the towers just kept getting bigger and bigger until eventually it just got to like 20 white dudes in a row with truly an infathomable amount of money, to the point where I couldn't see Shaq anymore, you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, like, my god.
I'm fine. I'm just angry. I've just gotten angry. Let's go.
That's
let's
fine.
Talk.
That's completely fine. But I think, so I think that what that does is it illustrates really well the kind of the reason why And I think this actually, let's slightly nudge along from AI Arch, because I feel like we're kind of getting there. Obviously, we can circle back if anyone has any points, but like, I feel like this is getting into one of my then issues with the idea of AI going forward, because whilst I think it has advantages, and I absolutely think that we can touch on those if anyone has any specific examples or whatever, but I think this does present then a serious problem. Do you know what I mean? Because we're then talking about AI being, I think probably without, whether we like it or not, there's nothing really can really do. AI is probably going to become a cornerstone of society within our lifetimes.
Within the next five to 10 years.
I mean, to be completely honest, actually, it already is. Like, if we're being honest, like most banks now are almost entirely, like at the core of those banks, there is an AI program which is trading with each other, like constantly. You know, we're already using AI to map out our road systems and our train systems and our flight paths. And do you know what I mean? So we're actually realistically,
it's only a matter of time until the government steps in. It's only a matter of time until the government steps in and has to like regulate it. You know, like they have to.
This feels like this feels like one of the biggest issues is that, like most things, is that our government, because we have not yet gotten, the technology has moved so quickly in the last 20 years, but our government, like it's the same people that were in charge 20 years ago, and they have no concept. Like, you know, we all sat there and laughed when Mark Zuckerberg got interviewed by Congress, right? Because it was genuinely hilarious, but also terrifying.
Yeah.
These are the people that are supposed to be making sure that the stuff is safe for us to use, and they're asking Mark Zuckerberg whether Facebook knows that he's sat in that seat because he's got his phone in his pocket. It's just like, what are you talking about? These are the questions you came with?
Yeah.
It's alien technology.
Just ask your like niece or something. You know what I mean?
Well, and
bring
this,
your
questions.
Child to work day. Yeah.
And this is an area where I think looking at movies is really interesting. I've been doing the show The Quantum Reactor with my buddy Andrew Coons, and that several of the movies that we have watched have discussed AI and whether AI should be considered human, and at what point does something stop being a machine and start being a person. And I can already hear, it's wild, is watching the movie AI Artificial Intelligence, and then within weeks, hearing the exact same arguments levied against current AI programs. Like, they're not real humans. I want something that's made by a human being. It's got the button. Yeah. And look, the AIs that we see in AI Artificial Intelligence are far beyond what we currently have. So I don't think it's entirely comparable, but I could see.
Probably not far away.
Exactly. With the way that things are going, I could see that easily being like, us having stuff that is approximates at least some of the things in that movie within the next 30 to 50 years or less.
Can I just mention as well, AI, that film fucked me up big time.
It's so sad. It's a sad film.
Yeah. And we literally, me and Chloe were discussing it the other day, and we both realized we had like repressed memories from it. And she, like, Chloe was like, "Is that the film where he like cuts her hair?
Swimming pools?
Like the swimming pool scene?"
Yeah.
And we were like, "What a film!"
Okay, do you want to know something super messed up?
Uh-huh.
Our last Christmas, we're at Jade's mum's house on Christmas Day.
No,
turns the TV on and like Channel 4 or whatever has AI playing, and I was like,
"No, it's Christmas
what
Day!
What are you doing?
Time to
this
weep.
Couldn't be
the least like, Christmassy movie.
You might as well put freaking Marley and Me on. It's just like, oh my god! Like, what a terrible choice of movie for Christmas Day.
That's like, bad. Do they know what it's about? Do they know?
The thing is, I'm not even kidding as well. We clicked on it and the scene was the swimming pool scene, and we all kind of sat there for like 10 minutes watching it before realizing we need to stop.
Yeah, it's one of those films that you're like,
we're all getting depressed.
Yeah,
we're all getting depressed.
It's
we need
so
to stop
sad
this.
Oh my god, why do we do anything? Why
sorry,
tangent on AI. Wild film. If you haven't watched it, prepare yourself for sadness. Yes,
preps. You need to preps. And so I think just to open this conversation out, and like to AI more generally, I think I would like to say that there are going to be some huge benefits. We're already feeling the effects of those benefits, right? A reduction in cost, especially for like lower income people. AI is revolutionizing parts of like rural areas around the world that like struggle to get like basic amenities through like logistics plannings and all of that kind of stuff. there are huge benefits, healthcare, all of that kind of stuff. But I think that the going at it from the basis that it is unregulated and the fact that it is something that is effectively being created by a select group of people who have very unhelpful like end goals, you know what I mean? Like all I can picture in my head when I think of someone making this, and I know that I like this is not the case for everyone making AI, but all I can think to myself is like a dude sat there and be like, one day I'm gonna make this into a robot, my dude, and she's gonna have huge boobs. You know what I mean? Like like that's like all I can think in my head when I picture that, and I'm just like, we really just need like some super smart people who are just like, hey, we're gonna figure out like medicine stuff with it, you know what I mean? Like we're gonna be able to,
yeah,
like the idea, if you take AI for instance, like the computing power of AI, imagine like the amount of simultaneous like simulations that you could run on like certain different types of medication to see what kind of reactions they'd have, and like the lead times on things could become exponentially shorter, but not if we have these people in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which just feels a little bit terrifying to me.
Also on that, Jasper, I don't know if you've seen another instance of AI being just a bit much. The AI girlfriend app that you can get.
No,
speaking of sci-fi movies, we've got her.
We have her.
Yeah, no, there's an app, it's called Replica. And I've watched so many videos on this. Like, you make a girlfriend and you can set it to like be your sister or your blah 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 or your friend, but everyone chooses girlfriend, obviously. And then there's like a paywall if you want to like get smutty, and it's weird, but then like it's also like, and also the AI doesn't know what to do if you don't want it to be smutty. They're just like, oh, I've sent you a picture. It's like, no, hon, I didn't ask for, no, don't do that.
It's just a perpetually horny
sweetie,
no, AI.
Sweetie, don't do that. And it's such a weird, and yeah, there have been like so many weird, that like, I think the company at one point tried to take out the smutty stuff, and then people were like outraged, and like people had like actually made this, they'd become attached to this AI, and without it they were kind of lost, and it all started because the creator lost like a friend, like that they passed away, unfortunately, and so they were like, I'm gonna create this like AI to kind of like maybe like feed off of their texts, the text that they shared, and kind of like pose as that person. Just as a whole host of things.
That's a whole thing.
If you haven't heard of this, like there are so many videos on YouTube to do with like Replica and like how it's like affecting us and how it's going to. I'm pretty sure somebody has married a replica that they have like hooked up to a doll. Yeah, there's a whole
But that's like, that's wild because say there's a movie star that you have a crush on, and you have access to so much footage this person at various stages throughout their life.
Create ScarJo in almost any different race that you
that's
want.
That's so true. She's
played them already.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's already locked in. They don't even have to recreate.
Weirdly, they all look like the same person. They don't. Just almost no visual changes whatsoever.
No, absolutely not.
But legitimately.
God, no, honestly.
Yeah, and like you even have, if you want something that sounds roughly like what she sounds like, not even in terms of the voice, but might even use some of her speech patterns. How many hours of interview footage do you have? Same thing for us. If you were saying, Jasper, the people have your voice, people have your face, they also have your voice and hours of you, I would say, talking more candidly than Scarlett Johansson probably does in her interviews. So, and probably more audio, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Easily right now, someone could make an incredibly solid voice model of all three of us.
Yeah.
With no issue.
Sound that also talks like us, not just sound have a similar voice, but will use similar speech patterns and say a lot of the same things.
Wait, Jeremy, what you're saying to me right now is that we could all just go on holiday,
just chill, and then
we could just get an AI to just record episodes.
I was going to say this is the big reveal that this episode is all AI.
Maybe this is AI.
This
the shittiest thing we've ever done.
Like, <It's> not.
I, like, purely on the basis that, like, imagine setting it up so that we were having a conversation about AI. We get halfway through the thing to, and like, halfway through the episode, revealing that this is all AI. Like, I'm trying to imagine myself,
but not
as a 3BH fan listening to this, getting to this point and realizing it's been AI the whole time.
I feel like AI.
I feel like my worldview would collapse. I'd be like, nah, I'm done. Like,
no,
I think I would be like amazed
if somebody.
I'd be amazed, terrified though. I'd be
so terrifying. Like,
I'd be like, that was them. That was that was them.
Yeah.
Like, we'd get cancelled, but like it could be like fun. You know? Like
this brings up my favorite AI.
Liv just tweets worth it and never
This brings up my current favorite AI trend, which is people taking people's voices and having them talk about insane things. Like there was
the one with the presidents.
Yes, ranking UFC fighters in like in different weight classes. There I've seen a bunch of ones from Joshua Graham from the Honest Hearts DLC for Fallout New Vegas. Try to get like talk about a bunch of different topics. There's been ones they've had
Bratz dolls.
Yeah,
like, they just recreate they've had like Bratz episodes.
They've had like
fuck you, Britney, and it's like oh well,
yes,
you can't say that
exactly. They've had like Jordan Peterson on Joe Rogan talking about Bionicles or something and explaining the deep lore and history of the Bionicle series.
That wasn't AI. They just left the mics rolling longer than they intended.
But it,
that obviously 100% that conversation
and,
has happened.
And I mean we're talking about the film industry with the AI with the AI and the strikes, but I mean music. I've heard recordings of umpteen different artists now singing songs that didn't even come out while they were alive. And it sounds very convincingly like them, which is often very entertaining, but like also kind of horrifying because now you can produce covers that in some cases just sound good. And people are like, oh yeah, I could just listen to this.
I would say on a kind of vaguely hopeful note for like the creative industry in general, which is that like, I think that especially within the creative industry, like I don't think there is a call for this within the general public. Like within the general public, I don't think there are many people that are like, I want to hear Michael Jackson sing Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. You know what I mean?
Except as a novelty.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It feels very much like as a novelty right now. And I think that generally people will err on the side of like, oh, this was made by a person and therefore it has that kind of, like I was saying earlier, like kind of like that emotional or sentimental even weight to it, which feels more
like the Tupac hologram,
which is kind of what we want from the, it kind of goes back to my point, like that's kind of for me that like in the fundamental, like what I think we want from art in general, like whether it's theater or film or TV or whatever it is.
I'll be honest, I don't feel that way. Like I don't really, if something was made by a computer versus made by a human, to me, the idea of art has less to do with who made it and more to do what I read into it. If I read something like that's how you'll say, oh, there can be things in your book that you did not mean to put in there, or there can be things in your work of art that you did not even intend to put in there, and maybe you didn't put in there, but now that it exists separately from you, someone can read into it and read what you have made in a certain way. For example, a famous example of this would probably be Fahrenheit 451, which a lot of people took in a very different, like Ray Bradbury meant that as sort of an anti-television book, but a lot of people took it to be like, well, this is about censorship and the importance of literature and how, you know, this is about dystopia. It's like about it's about different things than what he had intended. Or there's a number of works that are very, very, I mean, you, Jasper, you just mentioned that you're rewatching Breaking Bad. I have met people who to this day are convinced that Walt did nothing wrong. And despite
like, I was watching the final the final season of that, and I was like, how anyone has that in them. Like, Walt by the end is the bad guy. Like, he is not, he's not just, you know, kind of naughty or what. Like, he is just full blown the worst dude. Like, you know what I mean? He's just full blown the worst dude. Like, he's bad, like with a capital B.
Yes,
bad.
But there are, but I think this is, it gets into the area of like, it gets into the area of like death of the author, where, I mean, look, death of the author still has an author, and it's, but it, the idea is once a work of art exists, it now exists separately from its creator, and anyone can read any message they have into it. Another example is when you listen to music in another language and have no idea what they are saying, but may still get a certain emotion or meaning from a song. Especially if we're talking across eras, like the Queen of the Night aria, which everybody's probably heard a snippet of, is the one that goes, it's by Mozart. It goes, okay, yeah. Do either of you listen to opera at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you, either of you, if you haven't heard that song and read the lyrics or know what's happening in the opera at that point, would you be able to tell me what that song's about from listening to it?
No.
Exactly. What if you listen to the lyrics, that song is angry. It's extremely furious and meant to be threatening. Yeah. And when she's singing that, it's meant to be like, when she's singing those notes, it's meant to be like threatening and sinister. Mm. It does not translate that way. Wow. If you have
that's
no
fully, yeah, that's fully a thing with opera for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I met someone on stream and I remember being like, oh, Oberon, you are so high-pitched and flighty. It's a different feel for you.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, where I'm like, if it's, I just enjoy stuff that I think is good. And look, this is a very small spoiler for the new season of Black Mirror, but there's an episode that deals with the idea of personalized content that is AI-generated for humans and how a lot of people people like having their feeds curated through algorithms, which are essentially TikTok. A form of that. Yeah, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, etc. People want to see what they want to see. So what happens if it starts to change what you want to see? Like, or not change what you want to see, but change things to be what you want to see.
That's what TikTok literally does. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but like, TikTok like lulls you into a false sense of security because it keeps showing you stuff. It learns what you like and then shows you stuff that you like. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, very occasionally, it will slip in one that it's like, how about this?
Yeah.
And you're like, and then like you could go further down that path, and then it gets you to like watch what it wants you to watch, and then it's just that simple because you will just keep scrolling on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I quite often have that problem because I'll watch stuff on like Instagram where I'm like a video of like, I don't know, Jake Paul saying just something like and it always wild. It's shocking to me, do you know what I mean? So I'll sit and kind of watch it and be like, what the, and also just because I'm like, you know, I've always been of like, hey, occasionally I like to check in with the other side just to check that I, you know, haven't missed a beat or there's not something I'm still where I was
here.
You know what I mean? But now my Instagram's taken this way and like occasionally I'll just get something like an Andrew Tate video and I'm like, no!
Yeah,
no,
for real,
and I'm
right?
like there, and literally I'll be there blocking it furiously, which also makes me realize as well like how easy it is to go down that rabbit hole and get convinced by stuff. Like if I wasn't consciously aware of it, do you know what I mean? Like I'm wondering how much of an effect that will have had on my psyche as I'm just like there ingesting
and
stuff.
Then... But like you have younger people who have access to it. I was just going to say younger people having access to it and then getting drip fed that stuff is very damaging. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say two things. One, just in a quick response to that one, I think the fault still lies predominantly, almost exclusively with the people who make TikTok and Instagram and et cetera. Do you know what I mean? As in, I think that there are ways to train that model to ensure that doesn't happen. And that's not happening. It's not like the AI is saying, do you know what I mean? I think a lot of the time when we have these conversations, people kind of go like, oh yeah, AI, it's like, it's bad because it programs. Like, no, that AI has nothing to do with it. Instagram and TikTok are making saying to the AI, do whatever you can to keep this person on the platform.
Yeah.
So if showing them shocking stuff that they like makes them feel uncomfortable, but they keep watching, keeps them there, then do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the fault for me lies in the people that are making the AI as opposed to anything else.
Yeah.
But then just quickly on what you were saying, Jeremy, in regards of Death the Author, I think that we might get to that point where the art doesn't matter. But I think that we're still in a point with AI, and we're not far away, don't get me wrong, we're not far away, but I think we're still at a point of replication as opposed to generation. Mm-hmm. We're not yet at the point where AI is consciously saying, hey, I want to make a piece of art because I have feelings about what I'm seeing and I want to express that in some way. Mm. So that's why I think there's still no call for it. I think there may well end up being a call for it. There may well end up being a whole subsection of movies, of TV shows, of podcasts, whatever, that's all AI generated, but it is very specifically like AI that like wanted to create something or like had the desire. Because I think that for me feels like an important step in terms of like it becoming part of the mainstream. Yeah. And I'm just kind of hoping that we get to a point where we regulate stuff in the sense
would
that like
that, yeah.
you have to declare it. Yeah. It has to be very clearly signposted as AI or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Because otherwise.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because otherwise, I think at that point, then it really becomes indistinguishable. Then I really think you could get an AI which thinks it's Jordan Peele and makes a Jordan Peele movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like legitimately on like, I'm not saying it's the same level, but it's like, it could, do you know what I mean?
It's
like,
pretty decent.
It's pretty decent in the sense that it's been fed all the same, like all the stimulus, but then it's going, I have a feeling and I'm attaching emotional weight now to this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the difference between understanding how to create a hand and then understanding like the functionality and the emotion that you can convey with hands.
Yes.
Like that's like the difference. You know what I mean? And I honestly don't know how far away we are from that point. Like,
yeah, scary. I mean, I thought we were super far away.
200 years away or something.
Yeah. I thought we were very far away from being able to generate stuff out of nothing. Well, not out of nothing because it's stealing everything, but like, I didn't think that we were this close to AI, like as we are. Like, it's only because it's become more into the forefront recently that I'm like, oh shit, we're at this point now. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so like it could sneak on.
I was pretty appalled when I found out that most banks are run by AI. I was like,
I'd like to read something really quick. I won't read it's part of a longer piece.
Oh no, I wasn't saying uh-oh to you reading something. I was saying uh-oh as in like, what horror a thing are you going to read off about how AI is coming to, you know, we're all going to live in a bubble or something.
I'm bringing it back to TTRPGs here. So
great, yeah, thank you.
This is a message that I received earlier this year. Hi Jeremy, hope you're well. Sorry for the late feedback, but I've been unable to find the time to put this together before now. This is the character backstory for Roger, the Heron Gone Swashbuckler, Heron Gone Swashbuckler 4/Hexblade 1. Roger was a rabbit born to the sea. His parents, merchants who traded goods across the continent, took him with them from a young age. As he grew older, he developed a keen eye for strategy, honed by the sights and sounds of bustling markets and fierce competition. He was a natural leader, commanding respect from his peers with his sharp mind and natural charisma. It wasn't long before he joined a mercenary company, traveling across the world to fight in battles that seemed to blur together after a while. Yet through it all, Ro proved himself to be a masterful battlefield tactician, earning renown for his ability to turn the tide of battle in his favor. Now, there's several more paragraphs of this. Not a single word of what I just told you was written by a human. That was sent to me by a player in one of my games. I had no idea reading it because and you know what? The character ended up being great in the game. Like, he was a fantastic character. The player did an amazing job, but the player deliberately typed into the AI that they wanted a sort of purple prose backstory that would apologize for the lateness of the message. Like, they wanted it slightly overwritten.
So even the lateness of the mess.
That's what's insane about it. All of that was stuff that was like, here's, and I think they said, I want it to be a hair. I don't even know if they chose the name or if they just said the Heron Gone Swashbuckler 4/Hexblade 1. Like, but all of that was, and I couldn't tell, and it didn't matter once we got to the actual game.
The language stuff, I will be honest, is wild. Like, ChatGPT, I have played around on it because I'm like, I need to know, like, if
what's
it's
going on.
And it is crazy.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, some of the things that it suggests, you just sat, like, I genuinely sat there, like, aghast at some of the things that it kind of, like, wrote up. Like, I was like, you know, I remember like typing in like make a game show or something, and it was just like the suggestions. I was like, "What the fuck is a, this? Is a great idea."
I posted I posted the entirety of that backstory on the 3BH Discord. So if you are a Discord member, go on there and just like look up the words Roger, Roejerr, as two separate words because it's first name Ro, last name Jer. You can read the whole thing. That is like shocking,
terrifying.
And I've known people who have written, who've had ChatGPT, for example, write entire campaign sessions for them, and everybody enjoyed them.
Yeah,
wild. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
Like, I don't even know. Oh, sorry, Liv, what were you gonna say?
It's just wild what it can do. I'm just in agreement.
Yeah, and I don't know what to say to that because like. No. Okay, here's the thing. It's not like the character was materially hurt by having that backstory. I used stuff from that backstory in the game. And you know what? It was stuff that people loved. So
you're an accomplice, Jeremy.
So I'm complicit. But like at the same time, it's like, okay, I was not paying this player to write me a backstory. So the player and all of that text is clearly influenced by other texts of other works that were fed into this program. Like I don't, I seriously doubt that the rights to all of those different projects were obtained.
I mean, it's probably just reading like free sourced like D&D books or something.
Could be,
that are online. It's probably because like AIs now can comb through
third party sources
like, stuff online.
Yeah,
like the it's not even being fed anymore.
The SRD
look for it.
Yeah. All that stuff is in the, especially after the OGL thing, all of that stuff now is in the Creative Commons. So Strahd and everybody like that.
Well, because I looked, because I was like, I asked ChatGPT, I was like, hey, do you know who the three black halflings are once? And it was like, hey, this is who they are. And like, it rewrote our like paragraph, like we're three nerdy friends with Strong Prism. Like it like, go check it out. It like rewrote it, but in a way where it made it sound like it was coming up with those. Do you know what I mean? Like, like I would describe, like it was like, I would probably describe them as like nerdy friends. Well, there's three nerdy friends. It would literally phrase it like that to make it seem like, it's those language models. The language models are the ones that really like, I'm like, the art and everything, I'm like, I can understand logically in my head how that works, but the language models are like, the model for speech and for rhythms and all like that stuff really freaks me out.
That's why I really wanted to say the part of why I brought that up is because I think AI in some form or another is pretty much here to stay. And I think it's a matter of looking at ways to use it in a way that does not harm people, does not take away their jobs, but instead makes their jobs better or easier, like enhances the thing without harming the thing. And go ahead.
No, because they're current. No, please.
I think that, for example, for some people, I'm sure that, for example, say you're a GM and you want to make a dungeon. I'm sure that there are AI programs or will be soon that can generate a dungeon for you with the things that you want, like a full map.
I use dungeon generators.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
They're not AI ones.
Yeah.
But like I use them.
Yeah. And
I'm like, it's, you know.
Yeah. Or descriptions. I know that there are description things where it's like, oh, can you please give me words that would apply to such and such a location? And it'll spit out words to help you describe better. To me, that's the kind of stuff that you want. Like it enhances what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You don't want something that a company comes along and says, well, hey, I don't even need the input of the person anymore. I can just have Cormac McCarthy died, I think last year or earlier this year. What if we just decide to have Cormac McCarthy write a new novel on this particular topic? He's written how many books? We have millions of words potentially that he's written, or at least hundreds of thousands. We know what his sentence structure and his tendencies were like. We could just plug it into a language replicator and just have it be a new Cormac McCarthy novel. That's not good. That's not good.
No.
Or what you saw with the Tupac hologram from all those years ago, like Coachella. I think it's only a matter of time before you start to see people try stuff like that more and be like, well, okay, maybe Tupac died with all these unfinished recordings. What if we were to finish them in the style of Tupac, or like the famous unreleased albums, the Beach Boys' Smile, a famous album that was hugely anticipated at the time. And then the main writer had a mental breakdown and it never got released in its finished form with the original personnel. Mm-hmm. We have all the recordings that they had made. Why don't we have AI fill in all the blanks and master the whole thing? I think that's where it's, or I mean, to bring it back to TTRPGs, the recent Wizards of the Coast controversy, where they used an artist, they paid an artist who apparently had been working with them for some time, but used AI to finish up works possibly done by other people. or to alter works done by other people. I don't even think it was art that they had started.
I thought it was a particular artist who used AI to finish up their own work. But
okay, I've heard conflicting reports. Different angry people are saying different things, but AI art.
But the key is they're angry.
Yes, and there was AI art being used in, I think it's Bigby's something of Giants.
Yeah,
I looked at the art. What's wild is I was at Gen Con. I looked at the art and I was like, wow, this art is really cool. And in some of the art that was brought up as like, look, it's AI art, was like, oh, I remember that. That was one of the ones I thought was really cool.
I was fooled. Oh.
Oh, no. Am I just a bad judge of visual art?
No, but I think that's the whole point of it, right? It's meant to trick you and make you feel like it's real.
Yeah.
I'd love to kind of like maybe just get some closing thoughts on just sort of AI in general, what it means for the creative industry, like whatever kind of angle speaks to you the most. Because I think there was even more meat on the bone of this particular subject than we went into. I think there's a lot more that we should do
a sequel with somebody who's like really knowledgeable in this area.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, I think what would be a cool idea maybe is like we'll get ChatGPT on
to write an interview for us, which we will then conduct with an AI expert.
No, because you know, oh no,
it'll do it. It knows.
This is an AI script right now. No,
no.
But I think. It's at least worth, I think it would be really cool, the idea of like people asking us questions, like if there's anything that you guys listening at home like are thinking right now, if this has sparked any questions in your mind, which is I'm sure because it's sparked a ton of questions in my mind, and then we'll see if we can get someone on, because I think it's worth talking about in the context of all of these cool things that we love, you know what I mean, and a lot of our friends and ourselves who work in this industry, you know, what does this all mean for the future? So any closing kind of last thoughts as we wrap up, with the knowledge that we're going to sort of dig into this more, because I think we can easily go on for like another hour.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Easily.
For sure.
It's a very deep topic, so...
I can jump in. I think something that struck me that you said earlier, Jasper, was like, the problem is people. People are the problem. It's not like that. Like, it's the people who made it. You know, like, there's somebody who has made this thing, and like, it's almost getting mad at the technology itself. I've seen a lot of people getting mad at it. It's like, somebody made it, you know, like, I like, maybe focus your energy kind of like... yeah, towards the people who are producing these things, you know?
A really good example is in football, in soccer, for anyone over in America, there's this thing called VAR now. Like, if you've watched any of the World Cups or Euros or anything like that, you'll know about this. And loads of people, a lot of older football fans that I know are like, I hate football now. VAR is ruined the game, whatever. And I'm like, no, referees ruin the game. VAR is just a screen that a referee is looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They are the ones making the call as to what happens. Down to them. If we got AI to actually referee the game, probably be a lot better, honestly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they could do computations and calculations about velocity and momentum and unbiased, all that kind of stuff. It would be a breeze, most likely. But I think it's a very useful illustration of that exact thing of like, no. It's nothing to do with the actual, all the technology is the ability to draw a line on a pitch and work out whether it's onside or offside.
Tennis has been doing that for years.
Exactly.
Like you can literally in tennis, at professional tennis, you can challenge a call by a line umpire or a chair umpire, line judge or chair umpire. And there's a program called Hawkeye that will model the trajectory of the ball that you hit and tell you within apparently millimeters of accuracy whether it was in or out. And that is what people like. If you challenge it and the AI says, oh, yeah, the ball was in. Then it's everybody's in. Like, oh, it's in then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's in. Well, yeah. That's what I mean. So I think, I think it's a worthy thing to say.
Yeah.
As usual, the problem is people.
Yeah, it's always people. People are the problem. Like, it's not, the technology is going to benefit us in the long run, I'm sure. I hope. We've got to keep the people in check who are using it for nefarious reasons or making it for nefarious reasons. Just think of it that way. And also, just a quick little... There's an anime on Netflix called Aggretsuko. And it's very, very...
Could you spell that?
Fun. It's like... Aggretsuko, Aggretsuko.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. So it's like really cutesy art, and they're all animals. But they're like personified. You know,
anthropomorphic.
The word I'm thinking of. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing. And it's like a very cutesy like design, but it's like showing off like the strain of like working life in Japan and like how like intense it is. For young people, and it's really good show in general. You should watch it if you haven't. But there is a character who comes into it who's like a genius and like an entrepreneur, and he's like making he's made an AI for the sheer purpose of like not taking jobs away from people, but like the tasks that keep them from doing jobs that they would want to do, he wants to like do those jobs so that people can like then like pursue things that they are very interested in and like and are fulfilling and stuff like that. I just think it's an interesting way to kind of like look at it, like hopefully jobs will not be taken away from people. Hopefully maybe it could broaden people's horizons and help them do what they want to do, maybe. But also it's a cartoon, so I don't know, it's an anime.
I think I'll jump in with my final thought because it kind of links to that, which is that like, you know, just if anyone is listening to this and thinking like, hey, like Jasper seems pretty positive, like it's purely because I have to have a hopeful outlook about these things, otherwise I will just want to scream into the void and like never leave my house. And I think the way that I view a lot of this, like, it's so interesting, right? Like, I feel like I was told all of my life, it was like, you know, there's too many people in the world, there's too many people, everything's really bad because there's so many people and it's really, really awful. And now all I'm being told is like, we have an aging population, there is a huge gap between all the oldest people and all the youngest people, and there's not going to be enough people to look after all of the old people. And now suddenly I'm like, oh, we should have had, wait, you're telling me this whole time we should have been having more kids, not less kids? Oh no, what do we do? And so it, like, all of those things, I think there's so many kind of facts about the world which for me feel insurmountable by a, you know, like one governing body or one government strand of government or one even collection of governments like a NATO or whatever. I do genuinely feel like AI is something that could bridge gaps between, you know, like helping us actually look after an aging population, or helping us get to a point where we are, there almost certainly will be like labor jobs and things like that, which will be lost as a result of this. But in the same way that when, you know, back in the, like, you know, not so long ago, you know, miners lost their jobs, and it was horrific and awful, and that was mostly because we handled the transition terribly, but it's not because we didn't need them anymore, you know what I mean? Like, because as a society we moved away in the same way that we're gonna be moving away from gas and oil, and do you know what I mean? Like, we're moving towards more eco-friendly, like, that's gonna change society again. So I think that it's more about the way we handle the transition as opposed to the transition itself. Because I think ultimately we'll always head in a direction which is like relatively beneficial, because even if you take the most like pessimistic outlook on life, which is like, it's all just evil corporations controlling everything. Yeah, sure. But they still have a vested interest in keeping us all alive. So like eventually they have to sweat out the planet, because otherwise they're all going to, like, do you know what I mean? It's like, and I think again, AI, I think will play a huge part. Like, if we manage to save the planet, I think the AI will probably play a huge part in saving it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that I don't know exactly know what, but it probably will, because AI will probably end up being cleverer than us.
Probably. It probably already is for me.
I mean, chess.
I mean, it's definitely cleverer than me.
Yeah, chess programs are already to the point where I think in the 90s, Deep Blue beat Kasparov, and they've only gotten better since, chess engines. They already are better at us than chess.
But that, okay, so this actually lends into my slightly hopeful point as well, which is that in my opinion, right, I think that we're going to carry on, like, people will ultimately carry on playing sports, making art, like things like this, purely because, like, if that's been the case since the 90s, why don't we watch chess competitions between computers? Because it'd be boring. Like, there's just no point. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's
very
just,
true.
There's no point to it. But we still watch, like, there's still huge chess competitions between people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that way, we get cool stuff, like a dude using a butt plug to tell him what moves to make.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You're not going to get that with the robot.
Liv did not hear about that particular piece of information until now. Liv,
I don't understand.
Liv, nothing Jasper just said was really an exaggeration. I will let you know after the recording.
But no, don't. It's okay. No, it's okay.
But yeah, no, it's true. People just use chess engines now to help themselves train, like to help themselves get better at chess.
That's what I mean.
Or cheat.
Yeah, I think I knew about the butt plug thing, but I think I buried it.
How deep?
That's why you didn't know what moves to make. Yeah,
don't worry about it.
It's too deep. Oh, wow. What a time to be alive. But yeah, I guess that's the point I'm making, is that, like, that's my kind of hopeful way to end this. It's like, yeah, I absolutely think that there will be a time when it's like, oh, look at this. Peel AI made Get Out 2 that we've all been waiting for. You know what?
Get back in.
No one watched it.
Get out again.
Get back in. Like, but no one watched it because no one really cares, because Jordan Peele made a new movie and we all went and watched that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the point, I guess,
humans
I'm making.
Humans connect with humans.
Like, yeah, I just feel like it's going to get to a point where it's like, okay, I could watch that, but I think it will be highly appealing to a small subset of people for sure. And I have no, and I think at that point I won't even, I wouldn't judge people for watching it. I just think that for the, in the mainstream, most likely, unless we end up in like a Wall-E type future where we all just kind of float around on little chairs.
Can't wait.
Which might happen, you know, I think unless we end up in that future, I think that it'll be okay.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
Nah, the world's on fire, we're gonna die.
I think that it is very possible for us to put regulations in place. I think it's gonna be very difficult to start parsing some of these, because we didn't even touch on stuff like, for example, we mentioned YouTube and TikTok and so forth in regards to AI. And I mean, I'm guessing both of you, or at least one of you, may have heard about that recent controversy where that streamer accidentally revealed that he had downloaded a bunch of AI porn of some of his colleagues. Like, that in and of itself is like, it caused a huge, basically his, I think the dude's career is basically done. But it was, he accidentally revealed on stream that he had done that. And that's like, he like showed something on his computer that showed that he had had that on his computer.
Yo, screen sharing,
AI porn.
Screen sharing has got a lot of, like, he's got a lot of people in trouble, and rightly so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're dirty. Yeah. Get it off your computer.
And that's a whole topic. There's so much to try and figure out about how people can use their likenesses, as well as from like a legal standpoint, how we engage with stuff that may have been altered using AI in some way, evidence. So
deep faking.
Exactly. Deep fakes, all that kind of stuff. So I think there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done to regulate this stuff, as well as a lot more work that needs to be done in terms of how legally we approach, as AI gets more and more intelligent. Who knows, within 100 years we may have AI that could qualify as a person or less,
maybe.
And who knows? Yeah. And that's something that,
and this episode's gonna age poorly and then people are gonna cancel me for hating on the future robots, you know. So like
but look, honestly, Liv, listen, if people are canceling you in 100 years because of this episode, Three Black Halflings did hella well.
That's
we
so
died.
True.
We died. Oh, we died rich and happy.
Or
so.
We stayed alive because AI medicine.
Or we live.
Or people are long enough to the AI version villains. Of you.
Yeah, that's so true. But I'm a
Cloud Liv.
Oh, Jeremy, what's the name of the lesbian Black Mirror episode?
San Junipero.
San Junipero. Yeah, I'm San Junipero-ing with Chloe in like little weird AI universe.
People might come into your AI universe like, hey, like, there
no,
she is.
Get out of here. Get her. No.
Yeah, you get kicked like, out into like a rubbish one. Like, no. Oh, like a rubbish little AI place. Oh, man.
I'm in like, I don't know, like I'm in Grangetown in Cardiff. I'm from Cardiff. I'm just that's such a weird deep cut. Anyone who's from Grange, I'm sorry, this is so weird.
Someone just threw their phone across the room.
Yeah,
like,
screaming with laughter.
She's from there.
That's I think that we have a lot of work to do. I am hopeful that work can be done, and there are a lot of people, a lot of prominent figures who have been calling for that work to be done, as well as a whole lot of art that has been made on the subject going back decades and decades. Look at something like the Terminator for a darker version of it. But Black Mirror has umpteen episodes about various forms of AI and how it may be used, how it could be used, whether they count as people. So hopefully people will start to people in charge will start to take things seriously, and we can actually start to introduce some much needed regulations for these companies so they do not exploit workers, so that people are not being oppressed using AI, but people's lives are being improved using these
enhanced
tools.
Yes, exactly.
People's lives and livelihoods.
I will say, as a final note, if we get a premonition of view of like 200 years time and we're all ruled by robots, if there's one thing that we as a human race cannot say, is that we didn't have a very good warning. Like, we made so many movies about this exact thing. So if we end up ruled by AI or destroy ourselves with AI or whatever it is,
we deserve
I'm pretty sure there's a new movie about AI. Who's in it? I think maybe John David Washington's in it or something. That's about an AI sets off like a nuke in LA or something.
Oh my goodness!
Is
Oppenheimer?
Oppenheimer 2.
Barbie, right?
The Oppenheimer.
It's Barbie. No, but Ken, I think it's basically like a futuristic movie, and it's like AI basically sets off like a nuke in LA, and then they're now like at war with like robots, effectively because of what. If that happens, we only have ourselves to blame.
Yeah.
At that point, it's just like, guys,
we saw it coming.
We had Will Smith told us 3 times probably by this point. You know what I mean? Like, there's how many iRobots we had? I don't know. But
one.
It was just one.
Yeah.
It was based on a book by Isaac Asimov. So
there we go. Perfect. Yeah. We had at least 2 versions of that. And, you know, so I think fair warning, human race. This is us, Three Black Halflings, telling you fair warning. Regulate AI.
And also telling you to pay your creatives for their
work. Pay your creatives.
Thank you.
For their work and for what they're worth. Because that's a lot of the issue right now, is we're like, oh, you're making loads of money, but you didn't pay the artists. There's a problem there. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I've really enjoyed actually talking about this. I feel like it's weird. It's like not often that we get to talk big picture stuff. You know, like normally it's all very like kind of like granular about, you know, a particular book or something. So this was fun. Please let us know how you feel about AI, how you
Call
feel about all this stuff. Let us know. If any of what we've said it seems like outdated, if you know, do you know what I mean? About certain parts of AI, we'd love to learn about it.
Who should we have on to talk about it?
Who should we have on to talk about this?
If it's you, let us know. I don't know.
Yeah. And just generally as well, if there's ever people who aren't necessarily kind of like famous or whatever, but like are experts in a field who listen to this, it could be any field, not just AI. Like, we would love to hear from you because I think that, you know, art and one of the beautiful things about art is it is a reflection of life. And so I'd love to start covering some more big picture topics like this. But we definitely love to sort of, you know, we'll give our thoughts. Don't worry, we're opinionated people. But we'll definitely also try and get some experts in the room so that we can provide you guys with as much context as possible for some of these things. But I've enjoyed doing this. Olivia.
Yeah. Hello. Kennedy. Yes.
Hello.
Yes. You really did. Yeah. I was
Dad. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me. You can find me at Dust Dark Magic on on every social media. But I think I might have goofed again because I've got a Blue Sky account now. But I think I just put myself as Olivia Kennedy on it. I think I'm literally at Olivia Kennedy. So I was like, I'm gonna be completely honest.
I'm gonna be completely honest, guys. I've been on Blue Sky for a little while. They need to put some work in on that platform because it is garbage at the moment.
I kind of just like put it. I just like every time I, just, I like, log mark in, my territory. You know, like
every time I log in, I had the same 10 notifications. I'm just like, why? What is going on? Like it's not good.
I'm currently
you got paid. These guys got. No,
go. Go ahead, Jeff. Go.
I was just gonna say the guys who made Blue Sky got paid $44 billion or whatever by Elon Musk, and this is the app that you made. Bad. It's bad.
They what? Wait, is he? Has he got his finger in this pie as well?
No, the guy who originally made Twitter is the guy who made Blue Sky.
I see. Okay.
And Elon Musk paid $44 billion or something stupid for Twitter. Now I know they didn't all go to this guy, but like, my dude, put some more effort into it.
Literally, it's just a mutual followers, friends. I don't know with Zoe from Eurogamer, and that's it. So it's just a fun little Zoe, me and Zoe from Eurogamer, just hanging out on Blue Sky, and that's all it is at the moment. So follow me or don't. I don't know. It's up to you.
We like to give people a choice here on Through Black Complex. Follow me.
Olivia Kennedy on there. I'm also. Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. I'm also on YouTube, youtube.com/dicebreaker. It's a place where I talk about all sorts of tabletop stuff, and it's fun, and you can check out some cool stuff. Dicebreaker went to Gen Con. Jeremy, you also went to Gen Con.
I did.
Yes,
I'm so jealous.
Gang, we won an award at Gen Con.
That's true. We haven't even mentioned this. Wild.
Oh my God.
That was such an experience. Like, I feel like we've been invited, not invited, we've been nominated for some awards before, but like, we just never won anything. And half the time, like, we're not even nominated for things. And I was like, oh, we were nominated for this. Oh, that's nice. And then I was like, gonna go to Gen Con. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the ceremony. And also, I know the people who were running the awards. Shout out to Ivy, who had basically organized to put the whole thing together. This was like her baby.
So it was incredible.
But she worked with Jordy and Gabe and Critical Bard and a number of other individuals who helped. And it was
the Crit Awards, right?
Yeah, the Crit Awards. I went just being like, and as I arrived, they had said like, come wearing whatever you want, whatever's comfortable. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just gonna dress like sweatpants or something.
Like I do.
Like I did not dress up at all. And then I get there and Jordy's like, hey, you didn't dress up at all. I was like, well, yeah, because I thought it was, you
told me not to.
Yeah. And he's like, I brought, you want a tie? You should have a tie. I was like, okay.
No.
And he's like, I brought extra ones for Duke from I forget what Duke's handle is on YouTube, although I've watched a number of his YouTubes before. But he gave me like a spare tie, and I was like, yeah, okay. So I tied it on for my over my t-shirt, and then I went up and then we won. And I was like, oh, I guess that's why. Also, shout out to
big thank you.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say big thank you to anyone who voted because it was a vote.
Yes, community-led vote.
Yes.
So thank you so much if you vote for us. We really appreciate it. We're an award-winning podcast now, thanks to you. So thank you so much.
And congratulations to all of the other nominees as well as all the other winners. Special congratulations to Transplanar and Connie Chung, who just dominated the awards.
Absolutely. So they should.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think Connie was responsible for 5 or 6 wins. Like, they swept the categories they were nominated in.
So what we're saying is that Connie is like in the running as the kind of Meryl Streep of TTRPGs.
Oh my God. I mean? Kind of, I want
perennial, just like, you know, like if they're nominated, everyone else forget
somebody, it. Somebody said, somebody said that the C in crit stands for Connie. I think that was
amazing.
Yeah. The Connie recognition award. No, Connie recognition in
industry.
Anyway,
industry transplainer.
Yes. Yeah. Also, because
just
I always
translator as well.
Because I always get this wrong, and I'm trying to like get it in my head. I think it's Connie Chang, right? Is it Chang?
It's pronounced Chang, Chang, I think.
Is it pronounced Chang? Chang. Okay,
it's
good.
Spelled C H A N G, but I think it's pronounced Chang. Mm.
Fantastic.
Oh, and we also, Connie and I just decided, because there is still a NADPOD to 3 Black Halflings to Transplanar pipeline, we had decided on a name, because we had the NADlings for the NADPOD fans who became fans of 3BH. Let me see. Half Planers was the name that we decided on for, Transplanar fans who became 3BH fans, or 3BH fans who became Transplanar fans. So, Half Planers.
Love it.
The other option was Translings. But
I was
Connie
thinking Translings was also...
We were all three of us thinking Translings and went,
I don't love that.
Not a huge fan.
also, youtube.com/3blackhalflings. We're on there, and we're going to be doing more stuff. Also, Patreon. Tell about Patreon, someone. Bye-bye.
I will. Jeremy! Make people finish with the internet!
I'm sorry, what?
Jeremy, you heard him.
Okay.
You know what I said.
So people, you could find me on the internet at Jeremy Cop 1 as Cop 2B's the number one on both Twitch and Blue Sky. We'll see what happens with Blue Sky. Twitter. Twitter and Blue Sky. At the Cobmeister on Instagram. You can find me streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/casualquestlive on Tuesdays. We do follow.
You got to affiliate yet?
Say again.
You affiliate? You affiliate yet? You
we're not affiliate. Affiliate. We're affiliate, but we're heading for partner. Nice. We're aiming for 150 followers by the end of August. So please go give us a follow.
We can do that. Come on, everyone.
Well, and I have some exciting news about that, because on Tuesdays we do Fallout New Vegas. On Thursdays we do Deus Ex Human Revolution. But starting this Sunday, we will be adding Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes!
We've got to do an episode of Baldur's Gate 3.
We should we need to all play around in Baldur's Gate 3, for sure.
Yes, we do.
I'm having the best time being a black halfling in Baldur's Gate 3. I'm currently playing as Jamal, just in case any of the listeners want to know. I'm playing as Jamal, and I'm making him extremely sassy and a little bit evil. And it's really quite fun. It's really, really quite enjoyable. I'm putting my party through their paces.
Amazing. I'm just like sleeping with all of mine.
Are you putting them through their paces? We'll see, but I may end up making the titular black halfling of this show, Dennis Colespring. If they're depending on the monk options.
I love that the two of you have made black halflings. I've just put my like water ganassi bard in there. I mean, and they don't even have water ganassis in there right now, so she's just a blue half elf. So I'm doing what I can.
The main problem I have currently is that I'm already desperate to restart the game as a different class, because I just love figuring out the mechanics.
To do that, just in case you don't know, there's like, if you have withers in your camp, you can like respec your character completely. You can pick
Jasper's face right now, folks.
I've played a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. I've had it since early access.
I have another announcement. Two announcements, in fact.
Oh my gosh.
Another three announcements, in fact. So the first one is
Jeremy's got a monopoly on announcements, everyone.
The first one is, starting as of this recording, the day after this recording, we will be releasing the first episode of Project Morana with Roll For It. We're playing, it's a Call of Cthulhu game. I play a real sad man He's a real sad man who's a hockey coach. Had better days in his past.
I don't think I can listen to that.
He's not doing
it. I don't like sad Jeremy.
Yeah, he's a sad dude. But come watch me be the saddest of sads.
I love the puck.
Yes, roll for it on Twitch. It's being run by Kelly. Kelly Wright, whom many of you will have heard in Big Trouble in Little Manus. They play Jamie on Big Trouble in Little Manus. Char, who played Jamie's younger sister, whose name escapes me in this moment, is also in the cast, as well as Margaret, who played, I can't even remember her character's name, Jenna Ainsley. That's the name of the character on Big Trouble in Little Manus. Margaret is also in the cast, as well as, I can't remember the name of the last cast member because I don't know her as well, but she's awesome. Her name is Katie Peters. Katie Peters from Katie Peters Plays. She's great. Go check us out. That comes out on Thursdays, I believe. I'm going to check the time. I should have already had this up, but I'm going to tell you when on, it was going to be 20 episodes. So through to the end of the year, we will still be releasing this. 10 a.m. Pacific. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific. Come watch the stream. All the art has been released. You can see my gigantic man. Yes.
Playing a gigantic man. That's
gonna
be fun.
Oh,
I'm gonna make a gigantic woman to balance us all out. We either go tiny or huge. There's no
huge.
In between.
Yeah, there's no middle ground. I don't think I've ever labeled a character as just like my height. They're either much shorter or much taller.
Oh yeah,
like 6'4" minimum or like under 3 foot.
Yeah, except for Tovo. I think Tovo's like average height. He's one of the only ones.
Ah.
I don't know. Those horns. Are
the horns make him reach 6'4".
he's easily 6'4". The horns.
But then the next thing to announce is D3 at Sea. I'm doing that. Come play with me at D3 at Sea in the world of Utarum. Come do it. Be an outlaw or an obelisk.
Whichever one.
On the water.
Yes. D3 at sea. Not the glass sea, if you've listened to that series. Liv hasn't, but for those of you who do, who have listened to it, you know why the glass sea is bad. Is this going to be the fall season? I believe.
Jeremy, could you rename it instead of Outlaws and Obelisks? Can you make it Pirates and Poles? Because it's going to be on the ocean.
Ooh.
I've been to that club.
Very interesting. Pirates and Poles. That sounds more suggestive than I think any of us wanted it to.
Pirates and Poles is 100% a night that they run at Digital in Brighton. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy.
Like, I mean, I was going to say, that's the character I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3. That's where she hangs out. That's it.
It should have been Revs in Brighton. Revs in Brighton, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pirates and Poles evening.
But yeah.
Revs anywhere, yes.
Yeah, Revs anywhere, honestly.
Yeah. And then the last thing, the last two things. One is a Hero Forge series that I was in. I believe, what's the name of it? I'm going to find the name of it. Because
we know this is a long outro, folks, but
I'm
like,
sorry, I'm in a bunch of things, and no, I feel no, like no, I need to
not you, not you specifically, Jeremy. Just all of us. We've been rambling. We've been really
I'll
excited,
go out, Jeremy. Jeremy,
no, come Jeremy, on. Keep talking.
Oopsie.
No, Jeremy, no.
I shouldn't talk about the things I'm in, but I'm going to.
No, absolutely, please do. No,
still scrolling down. Try to find the Hero Forge announcement.
Listen to Jeremy. Follow Jeremy.
Yeah, Hero Forge. I play.
In the meantime, I can say if you're going to go over to Hero Forge, maybe check out the one I did, because I never actually spoke about that, and because I'm bad at doing this and Jeremy's much better at me than me. But I did one. It's called Agents of Trans, run by the amazing Connie, so go and check that out.
Got to Forged Fools. That's what it's called. Forged Fools into the Bellowing Wilds. I play in it. Annika from Hero Forge plays in it. Dingo from Dingo Doodles plays in it. Quincy from Quincy's Tavern plays in it. And Gabe Hicks from The Woods plays in it.
Gabe Hicks!
Gabe Hicks from the Woods. Yeah.
We all know.
And
I've heard. I've listened to that.
Yes.
Everyone listens to that. I mean... Come on.
I play.
We all subscribe to that email.
Exactly.
You know
exactly. and I play a spider dad who just loves his son, his little ice lizard son. He just wants the best for him. Spider dad. Chef.
I played a plant dad who just loves his plants. He was a lich. He was a lich in life and was trying to reform. So he wants to nurture life now.
Yeah. And the last thing is just once again shouting out the Quantum Reactor. Go check us out. It's a sci-fi movie review podcast. Me and Andrew Coons. We have episodes on a pile of sci-fi classics, and we've sort of revamped the show. So we're going to stay tuned for the newly revamped one. I think we're going to release a review of AI pretty soon, followed by a more...
Can't wait to cry.
Yeah, followed by a revamped version of the show with... we're going to be reviewing Across the Spider-Verse. So go come check us out. We have episodes with Connie. We have episodes with James Mendes Hodes. Yes. We got episodes with just the two of us. It's great. It's good stuff. Come check us out.
I'm definitely going to check out the AI one because I want to like relive that trauma. Yeah. So I'm excited to do
that. You can find the Quantum Reactor wherever pods are cast. And we have a Discord. So, you know, hit us up for that too.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, now I'm finally done. I apologize for my
Jeremy, do I have anything else to say?
Do I have anything else to say? I love you all and I appreciate it.
Aww. Are we included in that or is it just everyone else?
It's specific. It's only you two.
You
all is just the two of you. I mean, and Unati. Okay. Unati's in there too.
And Unati.
I spoke to Unati.
Oh my God.
How are they?
How are they?
They are very good. We actually, this is a nice little segue for me. We recorded an episode of the Performance Capture podcast, which I'm a part of, because Unati was in Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Playing at one point a black halfling. Unati played multiple characters within Baldur's Gate 3 and. One of them was a black halfling, so we had a great chat
for them.
about that. So anyone who wants some more Unati in their life, then you can go listen to the Performance Capture podcast. Season 6, I believe, will be dropping in like a week or two. So that's when the Unati episode will be out, or most likely it'll be over on the Patreon, available like now.
Just super duper quickly, I just got really excited about this. This is just like a little behind the scenes, behind the curtain thing. Keep an eye out on our actual play stuff coming up because we just had a very exciting little chat today with a bunch of cool people. Something coming up. Things happening.
I am going to get to play with someone who played a character in a game that was like my favorite character and my favorite game for like a long time, and it's a little bit hard for me to not freak out about that fact. It's very very cool.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Keep your eyes on our socials and just listen to the podcast. Yes. If you want
to do it, listen to the podcast. You can find me at JW_Cartwright. I am also on another show called Games and Feelings. And if you're listening to this, but a few days after its release, then there is probably still time if you live in the UK or you're in the UK at the time to get tickets to a Games and Feelings live show that's happening in Manchester on the 18th of August. 19th of August. Definitely 19th of August. 19th of August is a Saturday. 19th of August. It is going to be a lot of fun. We're doing a live show up in Manchester, and then we're probably gonna be like hanging out for a bit afterwards. So if you're in and around Manchester or you know London, you can get up or whatever, come see the show. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be me, Eric Silver, Amanda will be there, and we have a special guest as well, which we have not yet announced, so I won't jump the gun and announce because I don't know if we'll announce it by next Monday, but hopefully.
They also haven't agreed to be on the show yet, so that's why they're special guests.
I'm fully joking. But to be fair, you would have been correct. You would have been correct like less than 6 hours ago. it's a very recent thing that they have actually agreed to do the show.
Great.
So so you're not entirely wrong. But make sure you check that out. I have so many cool announcements that I want to make, but I can't.
We have to figure this out because we're doing a lot of fun stuff, but
we're
just going to yell about them somewhere.
We've just got to yell about them. Well, I think that one thing that you can do is sign up to the Three Black Halflings Patreon. During Three Black Halflings Patreon, I like to do little monthly updates, which will be, I do usually in a written and an audio format, just because if you like listen to audio, then I just basically write out the thing and then I record myself saying it. And that usually can contains all of the stuff that everyone's doing. I sit and comb through these two social medias and then ask them if they're up to anything.
Liv's dog pooped again. Wow.
Exactly. It went everywhere.
Like every day.
Every day. It's a problem, honestly. Take a break, please. You know what I mean?
I know.
So that's probably one of the best ways to keep on top of all Three Black Halflings stuff. Plus, you get bonus episodes. Plus, you don't have to listen to ads for these episodes and a bunch of other things like hangouts and live streams and things like that. And I guess it's not too far away that we will be having some changes to our Patreon, and they yes. are going to be incredible. So
pretty sick. Revamp coming up. Get hyped, gang.
Get hyped. It's going to be awesome. Hoip. And it's a very, very exciting time over here at 3BH. I really genuinely, I don't know if you guys feel this, the next few months for me are wild. I think I'm doing four conventions in the next few months.
Wow.
Yeah, like that's pretty fun.
At least, maybe five, actually.
What are they?
Yeah.
Damn.
Insomnia in Birmingham. NEC. Oh yeah, I should probably announce this. I'm going to be doing a live, sort of semi-improvised, a theater version of D&D, in which I'm going to be playing a very stuck-up paladin. You can go over to, I don't think the tickets are available yet, but if you are going to Insomnia at the NEC, then you'll be able to see me, and I'll probably be there for most of the weekend. I'm going to be at Big Bad Con again, which I cannot wait for, because it was just such a blast last time. Mm-hmm. I literally just booked a room I'm going to be sharing with Gabe Hicks. Wish me luck, everyone.
Oh no, chaos.
Pure chaos. Me and him are like two bouncy balls. We're in the same room together. It's a nightmare.
I cannot imagine.
Well, I mean I can, because I did. You were in an interview with us. It was,
Sit down. Nope.
I'm doing, Big Bad Con. Then I'm doing, I'm going to be at MCM for something unbelievably cool. EGX. EGX gonna is be, a thing? And then Dragon Meat. As well.
Hot damn.
So it's, I mean, wow. It's a lot.
Lots of stuff.
And then I'm going to disappear into a hole because I'm going to go look after a tiny little thing.
Just a random thing.
Yeah, just to clarify. Yeah. It's not a goblin. That would be cool.
Shame. You don't know. You don't know. Like,
if it came out as a goblin, I would have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That's recessive goblin gene. Do you know what's really funny?
What?
I set myself, and I was actually doing okay for a while.
Yeah.
I set myself a real clear goal that we were going to do this episode in 50 minutes. And we've managed to go for an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half. Yeah.
The outro's really, really
It's a long
big.
One. Yeah. It's
I
long
mean,
one.
If we're going to point
like
the finger
minutes.
At anyone here, Jeremy, I mean, listen, look, okay. Here's my thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm loving the announcements. Good energy. You got to come with the dates, my guy. You got to come with the dates. You can't be Googling the dates when you're doing four announcements.
I thought I had written, I thought I had written down all of the things along with the dates and times, but I cannot find where it is. So I'm going to do it after this.
Oh, you're doing on the fly. That's the worst.
We need to streamline our stuff.
But also, Jeremy, you've shared your screen enough for me to know that you have too many tabs open. So if you
I did
can't
just close
find
a lot of them.
Too many tabs. No AI porn.
I have seen your computer. You have like one Google browser with like a gajillion tabs. Then you have like another Chrome browser with another bajillion. So like
it's only one though now. It's only one now, and it's fewer tabs than before.
It's only one.
Yeah, we're down to
it's
one.
It's still enough tabs that there's no text.
Yes, it is still too many.
To clarify for at home, it's just the icons because they're all bunched up.
That is 100% true. Yeah.
So should we end the podcast?
Yeah, we can do.
Get out of here, you filthy animals.
Get out of here.
So long, you Shire folks.
So but we need to finish the things. There's going to be mugs available in September. So
if
make
we just
sure
had mugs
you,
with our faces on the bottom.
Liv, don't tempt me. I'll do it. There's going to be mugs available. There's going to be more stuff coming to the DFTBA store, so please check that out. All the links are below. Sign up to the Patreon there as well. It is the main way we fund the show, and it helps us create more awesome stuff. Plus, also, you get a bunch of extra goodies for, like, the price of, like, a coffee a month. You can sign up and get all of this juicy stuff.
And it's going to be revamped, and it's going to be really, really good, gang. It's going to be really good. We promise.
And you'll be the first to hear about it if you are on the Patreon as well. Yeah. So that is the best place to be. But I think that's probably about everything. That was like half an hour of outros, but honestly, like a good half an hour of outros because it was solid outros. We've no one does outros like 3BH.
Look, it's the end of the month. Wait, end of the year. And there's a lot of stuff going on at the end of the year.
August, it's almost New Year's.
So it's
Black History Month.
It's Black History Month.
In terms of
so
schedule,
long,
it's the end of the year.
I am out of Shire fucks to give. So long, Shire folk.
So long, Shire folk.
No.
Oh my god, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm going.
You know that people are going to start calling themselves Shire Fox. Like,
oh my god.
That's going to be a thing.
I'm going to go to
the
bed.
The horny contingent of the morrow.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. That was a HeadGum Podcast.